Are you passing the love test? You may be seated. Are you passing the love test? This book of 1 John, for those of you who have been with us through most of this series, John is doing what any pastor or leader or preacher or teacher would do. He's concerned about the souls of the listeners. There was a lot of false prophets, false teaching going around in those days, just like it is today. And so John, as you go through this book, and if he was with us this morning at Sunday Blast, Minister Terman did a great job of coming through 1 John, talking about eternal security. So as you go through this book of 1 John, it really lets you see if you really are in the faith or not. If you really are a Christian or not. Some of my titles so far in this series, I've asked questions like, which group are you in? Are you ready? What are you practicing? You know, because the heart of a leader, heart of a pastor, a preacher, you want to see people, this should be any Christian though, you want to see other people saved. You want to see people following Christ. So this morning, one of the tests, there are many, but one of the tests is what we're going to call, what John is calling, the love test. There are other tests to see if you really are in the faith, but how do you know you belong to God? I mean, how can you know if you're saved or not? If you're born again or not? And there is no question on planet Earth any more important than that question. That if you belong to God or not. So how do you know? Is it the fact that you're here this morning? I'm glad you're here this morning. It's a good place to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. But are you banking on the fact I attend church regularly? That's how I know I belong to God. Or maybe it's because you walked the aisle one Sunday or one Wednesday night. Walked the aisle and gave your hand to the preacher and said a little prayer. Maybe even got baptized. Are you banking on that? Or maybe it might be, you know, you work in the church. You know, you usher or you sing. Or you preach, or you pastor, or maybe you serve in some other ministry. Is that really the litmus test? Is that the criteria to being a genuine, authentic follower of Christ? No, it's not. I mean, all those things are nice, all those things are good, it's okay. But you can do all those things and still end up in the lake of fire. So what is the criteria? What is some of the criteria? Well, this morning, we're going to look at one of them. This is one. It's not the only one. But we are going to look at this morning from the words of God, from the word of God, the words of John, the love test. It's one of the clearest and it's one of the simplest ways, in my opinion, one of the surest ways to know that you really belong to God or not. How are you doing on the love test? Several times in this book already, or even in this chapter, chapter 4, John has mentioned love. It's not like John is running out of things to say. It's just that the Holy Spirit wanted him to address love a little bit more, even from a deeper or maybe from a deeper perspective or a deeper level. So John mentions love again. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." Verse 7. And whoever, there it is, whoever loves has been born of God. Whoever loves is born again. Whoever passes this test in verse 7, whoever loves, that's how you know if you're born again or not. That's one of the surest and simplest ways. Right there, John said, if you love, then you know you are born of God. So that should beg this question. Well, what type of love is this? See, there are different types of love. Y'all with me this morning? I mean, especially even in the English language, we use love all the time, all different kind of. We say stuff like, you know, I love to eat, right? We say stuff like, I love sports, you know, or I love chips and candy, or I love children, not even just my children, I love children in general. Or you might say, I love cars, or you might say, I love clothes, or let me mess with the ladies. You might say, I love shoes. Brothers, I still can't figure out how wise and these ladies get 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 pair of shoes. I can't figure that one out. Just give a brother a black pair of shoes, a brown pair of shoes, and maybe a tan pair, something like a couple pair of tennis shoes, and we good. But, you know, we say we love all kind of stuff. You know, we use that word very generically, right? So since this morning, the question is, how are you doing in this love test? Are you passing the love test? And since John says, if you love, you've been born of God. So let's look at the type of love that John is talking about. Then the Bible talks about primarily four different types of love. This is going to be a review for some of you, and it's going to be new for some of you. But these are some of the types of love that the Bible talks about. And then I'm going to share with you the type of love that John is talking about in this verse. One of the types of love, the New Testament was written primarily in Greek. Some of it was written in Aramaic, but mostly Greek. And the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So it helps sometimes to look at the original language. But you don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to read the word of God and apply it to your life. But that does help sometimes. They got all kind of Bible software where you can look these words up in Greek. So here it is. Here's four types of love. The first type of love, if you're taking notes, is phileo. P-H-I-L-E-O. Phileo. Phileo. That's a type of love. Phileo. And it basically means a love for mankind. It's a love for mankind. Brotherly kindness. We get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, right? Or philanthropist. You know, that's a person who does good for mankind. Phileo is a type of brotherly love. That's a type of love. That's a good love, but it's a type of love. That's not the love John is talking about, though. Another type of love that we see in the Bible is Eros. E-R-O-S. E-R-O-S. Eros. It's a sensual love. A sexual type of love. That's where we get the word erotic from. Eros. It's a sensual type of love. A sexual type of love. Eros. That's not the love that we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about phileo. We're not talking about eros. Not talking about brotherly kindness. We're not talking about sensual love. Here's another one. Third one. Storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge. Storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. That's a family type of love, you know, like parent to child, like that. That's a family type of love. That's another love that the Bible talks about from time to time. But the love that we're talking about this morning, beloved, is not either one of those, none of those three. It's this third, it's this fourth love, and you all, many of you have heard of it, agape, A-G-A-P-E, agape, or sometimes it can be pronounced agapeo, A-G-A-P-A-O, either one of those, agape or agapeo. That's the type of love we're talking about this morning. That's the love test that you and I got to pass to make sure that we are in the faith, to make sure that proves, if you will, that we are in the faith. This agape type of love. That's a sacrificial love. That's a giving and not a taking type of love. Seeking the interest of others before yourself type of love. That's a putting others before yourself type of love. The agape type of love. That's putting others before yourself. That's a John 3:16 type of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him, believe in Christ, shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. It's that type of love, an agape type of love, John 3:16 type of love. And so verse 8 says, anyone who does not love, it just says, if you love, whoever knows God loves, right? So verse 8 kind of says the reverse of it. Verse 8 says, anyone who does not possess this type of love does not know God. I don't care if you joined the church 100 times. I don't care if you got baptized 50 million times. If you don't have this type of love, John says you don't know God. John says you do not know God. Because God is love. So the truth is, here it is, saints, here it is. The truth is, you can't belong to God and not love. Let me say that again. You cannot belong to God, genuinely belong to God, and not to love. Why? How can you say that, Pastor? How can you say that, preacher? Well, it's right there in verse 8. God says, God is love. Now, listen. God has many attributes. I said, God has many attributes. I've done series on Sunday and Wednesday, I think, on the attributes of God. God is a holy God. God is a God of wrath. God is a God who is just. God is a God of grace and mercy. God is a God who is patient. God has many attributes. But this morning we're mainly looking at this one attribute of his, which is love. Now listen, it has been accurately said that love, listen, Love does not define God, but God defines love. Let me run that by you again. That wasn't my original quote. I forgot who wrote it or where I got it from. But listen, love does not define God. It's God who defines love. It's God who defines love. So how are you doing on the love test? This is a good message for us, eternal security. See, everybody talking about heaven. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. By God's grace, I was at a home going on Friday, and Mother Eswick, Sister George Hardaway's mom, and a couple of these brothers, grandmother and great grandmother, she walked with the Lord, so she's in glory now. But as I mentioned earlier, that good friend of mine, my best friend as a freshman in college, last time I talked to him was years ago, he didn't have a relationship with God, so I don't know where he is. I mean, I don't know. If he died in that state, he's not in heaven. He's in hell. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Listen, everybody talking about love ain't really loving. When true love comes out of you, it comes from God. If you don't love, again, I'm going to keep saying this. John says it several times. If you don't love this agape type of love, you don't really know God. Now, this knowing God is mentioned in verse 7 and verse 8. This knowing God, let me make sure I'm clear on that. It's more than just some intellectual assent. It's more than just some type of intellectual knowledge of a holy being way out there somewhere. Most of my life, I grew up in the church and all that. I've been in a sense, most of my life, I've known God. From afar, from very far in some of those years, unfortunately. This knowing is not just some facts about God. Most sensible people, the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. Most people say there is God. But this knowing that John is talking about, it's an intimate knowledge. It's a relationship. It's a closeness. It's not just knowing about, it's knowing personally. It's the same word that's used in the scriptures, like in Genesis 4:1, when the Bible says Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a child, Cain. So this knowing God means you have an intimate, close relationship with. Again, not just knowing about him, but you got to know him personally. I said you got to know him personally. It's not just knowing about him. See, mama or daddy's religion can't get you in. Grandmama's relationship can't get you in. You got to know him personally for yourself. You got to know him personally yourself. Looking at verse 7 and 8. Write this down if you're taking notes. True Christians. I'm talking about true followers of Christ. I'm not talking about the movers and fakers. True Christians love because God is love. There it is. It's pretty simple. You know, true followers of Christ, authentic worshipers of God, we love because God is love. The book of Romans said God has poured out his love in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. So it's like if you know God, you cannot help but to love. Now, of course, we don't always do it perfectly like God does. No, but if you have an attachment to God, you can't help but to love others. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, whoever loves has been born of God. It's not you doing it in and of yourself. It's God doing it through you. And whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. So true Christians, we love because God is love. That's part of our DNA because that's part of his DNA. Does that make sense? Verse 9 says, it's going to give us some examples of love, again, in case we're missing it. Verse 9 and 10 are going to give us some great, great examples of love, the type of love that you and I should be showing because we belong to God. In this, the love of God was made manifest. It was made plain, Brother Tommy. It was shown. It was demonstrated. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only son, the NASB in the New King James said, the only begotten son, but sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. So God has shown us his love. He's shown us what our love needs to look like by what he has done. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. God demonstrates He demonstrated his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, how many of us, raise your hand if you send your son or daughter to be killed, to be murdered for somebody else. How many of us would do that? I wouldn't do that. But God loved you and me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. Now that's love. That's why John said, this is love. Here it is, right here. This is love. This is the type of love that you and I should be striving to exhibit. This love like this, that God sent his only son to die for your sins and for my sins. That's love. Now we sing that song sometime, how they hung him high and they stretched him wide and hung his head and then he died. Now that's love, the song would say. But that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. Now that's love. That's love. God has demonstrated for us the type of love he is calling us to do. Really commanding us to do and really helping to enable us to do it. So true Christians, we love because we follow the example of God's sacrificial love. If you're taking notes, write that down. True Christians, we love because we follow the example of God's sacrificial love. God gives us, Sister Jolene, God gives us the best example on planet Earth. He said, look at me, I'm sending my son, Jesus, look at me, I'm coming, I'm obeying the Father, I'm coming to die just for you. That's love. See, people can say they love you all day long, but what is being demonstrated? What is being, true love is demonstrative. It's known and shown. Let me say that again. It's known and shown, true love. So how you doing on the love test? In verse 9, we see that Jesus is being referred to as God's only son, or some translations say only begotten son. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked quite a bit about the uniqueness of Christ. And so I almost kind of want to just kind of speed over that verse. But the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. The Lord said, no, don't do that. Because, see, some of y'all weren't here a couple of weeks ago when I said that, when I talked about it anyway. And also, all of us need to hear about Jesus all the time. I'm being amazed anew or reinvigorated or I don't know the right words to say it, but as I'm reading through the book of Acts, oh yeah, by the way, I'm still challenging everybody who don't have a reading plan to read through the New Testament. We're in the book of Acts now, so if you haven't jumped in, you can jump in now and just catch us on the rest of the way. We halfway through the year. Getting quiet out there now, getting quiet. I know y'all got your own reading plan. Okay, y'all reading every day, you know. Okay, that's good. But as I'm reading through the book of Acts, I'm amazed how Peter and Paul and guys like that, Apollos and Philip and Stephen and those brothers, because there's a lot of sermons in the book of Acts, they just keep preaching about Jesus. I said, they just keep preaching about Jesus. I think we make preaching and teaching too complex sometimes. Yeah, there's a lot in the Bible to cover, but it all pretty much centers on Jesus Christ. They just keep preaching about Jesus. They just keep preaching about his life, his perfect sinless life, his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. I mean, they just keep preaching that, and just people just keep getting saved. And so that's what John is saying this morning. He said, look, God sent his son, his only begotten son, this unique Christ, to die for you and for me. And Jesus is unique. I said, Jesus is unique. I mean, he's all God, yet all man. I mean, he's one of a kind. That's what the word begotten means, one of the exact same kind. So when the Bible says that Jesus is God's only son, or only begotten son, what that really is saying is Jesus is one exactly like God. You don't hear, Paul or Peter or nobody else referred to like that. I mean, Jesus is exactly like God. He's God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. That's why when he would often say, I'm God's son, the Pharisees would pick up stones and try to hit him because they knew he was saying, I'm equal with God. And so Jesus is unique. He's all God yet all man. He's an advocate. He's our advocate with the Father. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end and everything in between. I mean, he is the anointed one. He's the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only son who came to die for you and me. He's a righteous branch. He's the head of the church. He's the only wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend of sinners. Now, I'm gonna give y'all one more chance. He's a friend of sinners. He came and got us when we weren't even looking for him. I'm going to hit on that in just a second. He's a friend of sinners. Even as a follower of Christ, when we get off pace when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. He's a friend of sinners. Just ask Zacchaeus. He told Zacchaeus to come down out of that tree, boy. Today, salvation is going to come to your house. Ask the Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas, and they had that jailhouse rock, and he went to their house, and the whole household got saved. Just ask Cornelius. He's a friend of sinners. I can go on down the list. Ask Nicodemus, who was a religious man. He was a friend of sinners. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's our deliverer. I said, he's our deliverer. If you're here this morning, you've been delivered from something. He's our deliverer. Can he deliver you? Won't he deliver you? He's our deliverer. You know, I keep thinking about my friend from my freshman year in college. I mean, he and I was messing with some stuff back when I was 18 years old that I could have been still dabbling with. But he delivered me from that stuff. He's a deliverer. He's a deliverer. All of us here have been delivered from something. He's a deliverer. He's the heir of all things. He's faithful and true. He's the image of the invisible God. None of us have seen God, but people saw Jesus and held him. We beheld his glory, John said. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead. We serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's the light. He's the light of the world. He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd of our souls. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of life. He has that life thing going on. He's a true vine. He's a righteous judge. Jesus is King eternal. He's King immortal. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of saints. He's the King of kings. We got it on the banners. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Strong and mighty. He's the only Son of the Father. He's the only begotten of the Father. And God sent him into this world that we might live through him, verse 9 says. So don't be talking about, well, I can't love like that. I can't do that. Well, look, verse 9 says, God sent his Son into this world so that we might live. It's right there in your Bible. That we might live through him. Or should I also say, so that we might love through him. So saints, once again, when I'm talking about how you're doing on the love test, as a follower of Christ, we don't do it in our own strength. I can hear somebody even saying that. Well, I can't pay this love thing, loving this person or that person. They get on my nerves and this and that. You can't do this on your own. You need some help. I need some help. And we have some help. Matter of fact, we have the helper, the Holy Spirit who is inside of us. We need help to pull this off. Verse 10 says, in case we didn't quite catch it in verse 9 about the love of God, how God loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus into this world. Verse 10 kind of reamplifies that. It says, in this is love. What is love? What is it? John, what are you talking about? Not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm going to deal with the second part in just a minute. Let's look back at this first part in verse 10. I'm taking my time. It's just a few verses this morning. This is love. Let's get this straight. Let's get our soteriology straight. Let's get our, you know, how do you get saved? How did I get born? Let's get this straight. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that God loved us. I don't know what's on these people's mind. You know, I was looking for the Lord. I ran the Lord. No. John just said, I'm thinking about pre-salvation days now. You didn't love God. I didn't love God. Number one, we didn't really know God. Not know him personally. We knew about him. This is love. I didn't love God. You didn't love God. But God loved us. I love him only because, Minister Sam, only because he first loved me. He loved me when I didn't even love myself. So let's get that straight. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but God loved us. Where were you when the Holy Spirit arrested you? What was your station in life? What was going on in your life? Some were in a pig pen, like the prodigal son. You know, some of us just hit rock bottom. So I've tried everything else. I'm just at rock bottom. And let me just try Jesus. Let me just cry to God. Where were you? Some were in the nightclub. Some over in the crack house. God came up in the crack house, came up in the nightclub, and pulled you up out of there. I've had friends tell me, man, I was out there getting high, and I was doing my thing, and next thing I know, I was trying to get high, and I couldn't even get high anymore. God made it where they couldn't even get high anymore. God said, no, boy, girl, I'm pulling you out of that mess. So where were you? Now, son, this is probably for many of us. Some of us, especially if we grew up in a Christian home, some of us was... I'm talking about when God came and got you, when we didn't love him and he came and got us. Some of us were steeped in religion, the religion of self-righteousness. Kind of like Nicodemus saying stuff like, well, you know, I ain't as bad as him. You know, I ain't doing all that stuff. I'm okay. You know, I'm all right. That's what some of us were. That's the hardest person to really witness to. That person right there, they think they okay morally. I'm all right. You know, I ain't killing nobody. I ain't doing this and that. I'm all right. You know, all of us were stuck somewhere. Some of them went way out there in the crack house or whatever. But some of them were right there in the church. Right there in the Christian church. On our way to hell. But wherever we were, don't get it confused. Wherever we were, it was God who came and got us. It was Jesus who came and got us. It was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit that came and pulled us. Showed us our sinfulness. Showed us our need for him. Showed us our lack of joy, our lack of peace. That I need Jesus. I need God. It was him that did that. He was the one that worked in our hearts. He was the one that morning I got up and I was looking in the mirror and I was active in the church at that particular time. God was drawing me and I looked in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. And I said, God changed me. God changed. And that moment, I didn't really realize it then, but that moment, God changed me. I was born again. I wasn't running after God. Most of us were running from God. Or most of us might have had just enough of God, just think we weren't going, just enough for a little fire insurance. No, God loved us. We got to get this, saints. God loved us. We didn't love him. He loved us. So John is trying to paint us this picture. This is the type of love he's talking about. Listen. As we follow Christ, loving others can be costly. Because, see, you love others, you're not really pandering or so much worried about the response. Hear me well. I mean, it's good when you love people and they love you back. I think that was an old song back in the day, loving people and they love you back. But a lot of times, or sometimes, the type of love God is calling us to, you're going to love people. They ain't going to love you back. You're going to love people. They're going to do stuff like, you know, like they did, put them on the cross. That's why, again, we need the Lord to help us pull off this type of love. If not, we're just fooling ourselves. You got to say, God, help me to love this person, even though I know they don't like me. I know they ain't loving me back. And we're going to apply that to right here in the Christian church, right here at Love Fellowship. We're going to apply this on your job. You're going to apply that in your neighborhood. The Lord teaches me a lot of lessons just as I walk in my neighborhood. You know, I walk, you know, regularly, me and my dog, Gracie, my trusty dog. And, you know, some people you can go by and you wave. And you can just almost discern. Maybe I'm wrong, but you can just almost discern. Some people just seem like they just don't like you. I'm like, man, you don't even know me. But Lord, help me to love that person too. Don't just love the ones that, hey, I preach. Some of them call me preacher or reverend. Hey, preacher. Don't just love them to be waving at you and smiling. Love the ones to be like, oh, you know why you walking by my house? I'm like, man, it's a public highway. I can walk by your house. It's a public street. But now you got to love in spite of. everybody's not going to love you back. That's why we need help. And so the Lord says, love, because I first loved you. Love, I came and loved you when you weren't even loving me. So the Lord is saying, don't, you know, again, a person's response or a person, their disposition towards you, that's not a prerequisite. Are y'all with me? That's not like criteria, like, okay, I'm going to love them if they are lovable or if they're going to love me back. Now, God says love in spite of. God says, follow my example, and I'm going to help you. Love in spite of. And then, as Jesus will say, I'm going to quote it in a minute, people will know that, hey, it's something about that Christian church, something about them Christians. Kind of even as we talked about this morning, as Minister Sherman led us in teaching time, about this whole race thing. You know, if Christians, I'm talking about white, black, and other ethnic groups, we can get this thing together, the world will really have to take notice. Like, wow, something is different about them. But let's be honest, we act about like the world when it comes to that race thing. We about just about like the world. It ain't much difference. Don't get quiet over there. Don't get quiet over there. But God said, I came and got you. I ran after you. I ran after you. So we got to love in spite of the potential rejection or whatever. Now look. Here it is. The key to this, though, again, comes from you making sure you got a relationship with God, got a relationship with Jesus. It keeps talking about knowing him. See, a byproduct of knowing him, it means you're abiding in him. You're spending some time with him. You're taking out your Bible. You're reading from his word. You're praying to him. I mean, you're walking with him. You're obeying his word. And I mean, here it is. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And, you know, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, the first one that's listed is love. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And Jesus, if you're hanging out with me, you're gonna be bearing some fruit, some good fruit, some love. You're gonna experience some joy, some peace, all that. But love is right there, the very first one. Now look at verse 10 again. The second part of that says that he loved us. God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a good biblical theological word, propitiation. If you don't know this word, you need to kind of grab onto this word. This word needs to be your friend. Propitiation. Listen. This is kind of a wordy definition, but it kind of paints the picture of what God has done through Christ for you and for me. Even though we didn't love him, even though he came and loved us, came and got us, so how he came and ran us down. This word propitiation, listen, it's the atoning death. And especially now as we're about to go to the communion table in just for a moment, you need to really grab this. This word propitiation is the atoning death of Jesus on the cross through which he paid the penalty demanded by God because of man's sin, thus setting mankind free from sin and death, or from sin and hell. Let me say it again. That's a lot of words. This word propitiation, that Christ became the propitiation for our sin. This basically means it's the atoning death of Jesus on Calvary's cross, through which Jesus paid the penalty demanded by God. Because of our sins. See, God is holy. Yeah, God is love. But God is holy. He can't just say, well, I love y'all so much, I'm just going to overlook sin. No. God is just. Somebody had to pay the penalty. Somebody had to pay the price for your sins and my sins. Somebody had to pay the penalty for Adam and Eve mess up. And guess what? God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and he paid the price. He appeased the wrath of God. He fulfilled all the requirements of a holy God that you and I never could have fulfilled. Christ came and fulfilled that. He propitiated. He appeased the wrath of God. Now, we don't study enough. We don't talk enough. We don't preach enough on the wrath of God. But even sometimes I don't even like to really almost say it, because even when I think of the wrath of God, the perfect, just, eternal wrath of God, forever separated from his love, his grace, in a terrible place called the lake of fire. When I begin to think of that, I'm so glad. I'm just so overjoyed that Jesus came and paid that penalty that I should have been trying to pay. You should have paid it, but Christ came and paid that penalty. He's a propitiation for our sin. He's the atoning death, his death on the cross, which he paid the penalty that God demanded. Because of our sins. And does he set us free from the penalty of sin? We don't have, because Christ has paid the price. Those who come to Christ, he is a refuge, Brother Curry. He is a haven. Those of us who run to him, check this out. I'm no longer under the penalty of sin. I no longer, Sister Jasmine, I'm no longer headed to a place I should have been headed to, should have been in years ago. I no longer have to go to the lake of fire because I'm no longer under the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And not only that, it gets better. It gets gooder. Not only that, I'm no longer under the power of sin. I no longer have to succumb to sin. I often do, but I don't have to. I just had to do that. No, I just had to say that. No. If you're in Christ, the power of sin has been broken off our lives. And then one day we'll be forever away from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. You all just hallelujah. That's good news. So are you passing the love test? Jesus did. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So he can help you and me pass the love test. We need help. We need help. I need help. You need help. I remember when I was finishing up with high school over in Arkansas. This was in the early 80s. They were trying to get more minorities into engineering, Brother Chris. And so they had this program. You had to fill out the application and do all that stuff, paperwork, Sister Johnson. And then so I got accepted into this program, into the University of Arkansas. It was a pre-engineering type of program. And that summer, got to go to college for free that summer. Right out, I graduated from high school. About 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm in college. And went that summer for free. And we had 3 classes. And what we had, what they were trying to do, was trying to bridge the gap between, say, high school and college, especially with minorities, and kind of help you to be on good, you know, firm footing where you might can go on and be an engineer or whatever. And so every day, Sunday through Thursday, these tutors would come by our rooms. There were about 30 of us in the program. They would come by, knock on your door, and that was part of the criteria, too. You're supposed to be in your room, doing some homework. And if I needed any help on calculus or anything else, I had a tutor that would help me. And they helped us out a lot. And so that summer, I got 2 A's and a B. That's about the best grades I ever made in college. I made 2 A's and a B that summer. Because I had a tutor. They came by my room and knocked on my door. Help me out when I needed some help. When I got stuck on a problem, I couldn't answer it, right? Well, guess what? We got a tutor. I said, we got a tutor. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. But watch this. He didn't have to come by our door and knock on us. Why? Because he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us always to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truths. So we have a tutor to help us with this, pass this love test. So whatever you have to do, you might be under some pressure from this love test, and somebody could be another church member, could be somebody on your job, could be somebody in your household, about to push that last nerve. You might say, "Well, Lord, I need some help right here. I'm about to flunk this test. Help me with this love test right here." Ask him to help you. He'll help you. Won't he help you, Brother Jackie? He'll help you. He'll help you. Say, "Lord, I need some help right here. I'm about to flunk. I want to pass this love test." But love, once again, we can see a couple more characteristics. I'm pretty much through from this word propitiation. As we talk about God has called us to love others because he loved us. He loves us. We see from this word propitiation, love costs. See, this is not, once again, this is not just some flimsy, feel good love. I feel like love. No, love can cost. Love is sacrificial. Love costs. This word propitiation. Love costs Jesus his very life. So this type of love costs. Another thing about this type of love that we're preaching about this morning, that I'm preaching about, is love is judicial. Meaning love makes some judgment calls. Love makes some judgment call. I think it was even prayed this morning as we were praying. As a church family, love fellowship, or even in the body of Christ, as you get to know people, just because you're loving your brother or sister in Christ, that love is judicial. So it's not like you got a little checkbook and you're trying to judge, oh, you did this wrong. But now if you see a person in error or a person in sin, true love is judicial. It makes some judgment call. It goes to that person. Well, y'all not hearing me now. I'm just trying to be practical. It goes to that person. True love does. See, true love doesn't, watch this, true love doesn't just overlook sin. I said, true love doesn't just overlook sin. So, well, you know, I love him. That's my boy. That's my girl. I'm just going to overlook that. No, true love doesn't skip over sin. It doesn't ignore sin. And watch it. It definitely doesn't gossip about sin. We talked about that on Wednesday night. You know, I am a church member. Y'all come join. We're about on chapter 3. So y'all still got time to jump in with that study. I am a church member. True love doesn't just gossip, but doesn't gossip about sin. It goes to that person. True love does. Galatians 6:1. Here it is. I'm sitting right with the Bible. Galatians 6:1. Write that down. Galatians 6:1. It tells us what to do as we talk about how we try to live out this love that God has called us to in a very real way in the community of believers. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression or any sin, you who are spiritual should restore him or her in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So Galatians 6:1 says, you see a brother or sister sinking in sin or getting tripped up by sin, don't just ignore it. Don't talk about it. Don't gossip. Go to that person. It's just like I like Weston's too, sister cousin. It's just like in Weston, every now and then a person getting some quicksand. Y'all ever see that quicksand? And you know, you don't just dive in there with them. You're gonna be going down too. But you throw them a lifeline, throw them a rope, throw them a tree branch, and pull them out. Right? You don't just leave them in there. Right? So you see a brother or sister sinking in sin. Part of love is I'm gonna go to this person. Even though they might not get a little, they might get a little upset, they may not like it, but love says, it's risky sometimes. You go to that person. We see that even from the word propitiation. Love is costly. Love is judicial. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 11 is really verse 11, but let me read verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. God loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, here it is. If God so loved us, if he loved us so much that he came after us, sent his son to die for us. If he so loved us, listen to what it says. If he so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now I love how John just writes things very clear, very matter of factly. It's no wiggle room on this verse. You can't be talking about, well, you know, the other translation said this, or no, this could be interpreted. No, God says, God loved us so much, so also we ought to love one another. It's no escape clauses, right? It's no, well, I would love them, but no, God says, since I love you so much, I've shown you how much I love you on a daily basis. I showed you through sending my son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. You go doing the same. You go love like that. We can't redeem anybody, of course, but we can love people the way God is telling us to love people. I can imagine Brother John, Apostle John, when he was writing this, the Holy Spirit having him write this. Let me give you this quick quote, though. We ought to love not only out of obligation, but also out of appreciation. Let me say that again. You and I, the followers of Christ, if you know God, if you and God are walking together, if you know Jesus personally, you and I are called to love not only out of obligation, but also out of appreciation. So that's two good reasons to love right there. Out of obligation, I'm obligated. I'm obligated because he's loving me and has loved me so much. I'm obligated to love others. He's going to help me to love others. But I want to love not just out of my obligation, but also my appreciation. Oh, I appreciate how the Lord loves me. I appreciate how God sent his son Jesus for me. I appreciate that. So I want to emulate Christ. I want to follow Christ. So we ought to love not only out of obligation, but also out of appreciation. So again, I'm just imagining old John as he was writing this in verse 11, you know, again, verse 11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I bet John said, man, I think I've heard that before. Yeah, you sure have, John. Matter of fact, you heard it right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself as Jesus said this to John, but also John wrote it down in John 13:34. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said in John 13:34, talking about how you doing with the love test. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What is it? What is the commandment, Jesus? What is this very important new commandment? John 13:34. That you love one another. See, sometimes we be like, oh, what I need to do? I need to do this and do that. Well, God can, I mean, a lot spins off from that, but it starts very simple. Okay, God, give me a heart to love others. And then out of that heart to love others, God will show you specific things you need to do. But Jesus said, I give this to you, that you love a commandment. And this is a mandate. This is not like, once again, this is not like optional. This is not like, well, do this if you feel like it. This is not like, do it if that person's going to love you back, or do it if everything's going right. No, Jesus said, this is a commandment. Just like the Ten Commandments. We know when we look at the Ten Commandments, we don't say, well, thou shalt not kill. Well, I can maybe kill. No, we don't pick and choose, right? This is a commandment. It's not like a suggestion. It's not like Jesus said, this is a suggestion I'm giving you guys. I'm getting ready to leave. Now, Jesus said, this is a commandment. But listen to the missional value of this. Listen. He said, I give this to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. And then he goes on in the next verse talking about, by then the world will know that you are my disciples. So, beloved, here it is. When we're not loving others the way God is calling us to love others, people won't even know if you're in Christ or not. As a matter of fact, remember, this is a test. Matter of fact, you might want to say, am I really in Christ or not? Because we love because God is love. Now, maybe it's because I read this probably about 50 times this week. That's so clear to me. It's so clear to understand. Maybe it's harder to live out. But look, it's very clear. If you're not loving the way God is calling us to love, or even having that heart and a desire to love that way, something is wrong somewhere. Because we love, once again, because God is. If you're connected to God, if the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, you're connected to the branch. Jesus is the branch and we're the vine. If we're connected to him, if he is love, we can't help but to love because he flows to us. God is love. So again, saints, if you haven't written this down, Christian love, I'm talking about true Christian love, is initiated regardless of the response of the one being loved. Again, Christian love is initiated or dispensed or shown or given out irregardless of the response. Now, of course, we're prayerful. You know, be wise. I'm not saying just keep going in situations where you begin, you know, verbal abuse or whatever. I'm talking about just basic. You love others irregardless of the response. And when it gets difficult, and it will get difficult sometimes, if love is not being returned, or people, you know, maybe talking about you or gossip or whatever, and you still try to love them, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love this person. That's a good prayer. When the last time you prayed that? That's a good prayer. Lord, help me to love him or her. I don't even really want to, Lord, but help me to love him or her. Change my heart. Change my mind. Because this is a commandment. Again, this is not optional, saints. So as a church, how are we doing with this? What are we primarily portraying? To those who are inside and those who visit, are we portraying that type of love? You individually, how are you doing on this love test? In your home, on your job, in your neighborhood. See, we're different. You know, the Bible says that clearly. It's not like a prideful or arrogant type of thing, but we are different. We're of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. I just read God himself came and ran us down and chose us and grabbed us and loved us before we even loved him. So we are different. So we should be looking differently from the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're salt and light. And one of the clearest ways we show this light is by the love we have for one another. This is the love test. And also, again, it reassures you that, okay, I belong to the Lord. A quick recap. True Christians love because God is love. True followers of Christ love because we follow the example of God's sacrificial love. And Christian love is initiated regardless or irregardless of the response of the one being loved. We love irregardless. And Christians, we love, true Christians, we love out of not only obligation, but also out of appreciation. Out of appreciation. I mean, when you begin, when you all the more fall in love with God, when you all the more fall in love with Jesus, a lot of all this other stuff just kind of falls in place. I kind of like what the preacher shared this morning. That's a term when we're talking about do's and don'ts. Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, when you begin to love Jesus, all that do's and don'ts and the legalistic stuff kind of falls into place. You're not worrying about keeping a list for what? Did I do that right? Did I do that? No, you're loving Jesus. And if you're following Jesus and following God and loving him, you're going to be doing hitting 100%, but you're going to be hitting high on a lot of that other stuff. So again, saints, as we get ready to come to the Lord's table, and Minister Sherman is going to come and pray for us in a moment and bless the table, examine yourself. Say, Holy Spirit, shine your light on me. And ask him, do I have this type of love in me, this agape type of love? Am I exhibiting that? Am I showing that on a regular basis? He'll show you. The Holy Spirit will show you. And so if not, you might say, well, okay, Lord, change me, save me. But if so, and you might say, okay, is there, the Lord is confirming or assuring that I'm his, but you know, that love doesn't come through like it should, sacrificial. Well, ask the Lord, help me in this area, increase my love level for sacrificially loving others, realizing that love can be costly, love can be risky, love is judicial, those types of things. So this is the love test. I read verse 7 again. Let us love one another. John says, I, your pastor, is saying this morning, for love, this type of agape love, is from God. And whoever loves like this, that the text is talking about, whoever loves like this has been born again, have been born of God. It's the love test. It's the love test. It's a challenging test, but it's the love test. Because anyone who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Father, indeed, shine your light on the heart of all of us, dear Lord. And I'm sure each one of us will confess and admit that we don't always come through this love test with flying colors. So grow us in that area, dear God. And maybe under the sign of my voice, this is a test, the love test. Point out if there are ones who don't know you intimately, don't know you personally, maybe know about you. Draw them unto yourself.